Thank you, Sarah. Now to our last bunch of stories on this part of Chatterbox, which include how two city pubs may be turned into new homes and a road was blocked due to an out-of-control bonfire. But first, what an exciting night for the Canaries, in the words of one of the Evening News sports writers.
Anxiety, suspense, the undeniable sense of dread, then ultimately sheer elation and exuberance. Despite the game being played on a traditional Saturday, the 7:30 p.m. kickoff meant that it was the longest of days for City fans. Throughout the city, the anticipation could have been cut with a spreading knife. Excitement and nerves were in equal measure. We all knew what was required and how good Norwich City have been this season. But as long as there is a slim possibility of it all going wrong, the nerves remained. Leading up to kickoff, and the mood in Carrow Road was electric. Flags were out, the ground was in good voice, and there was a real sense of occasion. Even close to the very top of the River End, the heat from the pitch-side pyrotechnics was bracing as giant flames pumped out in time to the theme from The Greatest Showman. And that is what we felt we were about to experience, The Greatest Show. The moment the boys walked out onto the pitch and were greeted to the loudest rendition of On the Ball City, you could sense it was going to be a memorable night. In a wonderful touch, the usual yellow and green flags were joined by national flags of many of the club's overseas recruits. From the first whistle, City were on the front foot with high-octane attacking play, but the nerves still remained. What followed was possibly the longest hour and a bit of football I can remember for some time, probably since Wembley. City created chance after chance after chance to put the game to bed, but the ball just wouldn't go in. The roar when Marco Stieperman drilled the opening goal in at around 12 minutes was as loud as any Carrow Road has ever heard. This was going to be our night. A few moments later, the nerves set in again when Teemu Piku, of all people, received a chance. You would have placed your mortgage on him scoring, but it somehow stayed out. But before we even had a chance to catch our breath, it fell to Mario Vrančić, around 30 yards out, who hit an absolute thunderbolt into the top corner. What a moment. Less than 3 minutes later, and Blackburn pulled one back, and any sense of exuberance, excitement and complacency is sucked out. What a punch in the stomach. When the final full-time whistle finally arrived, the feeling was indescribable. Seeing the entire squad, coaching staff and all, piling onto the pitch and embracing one another was a moment none of us City fans will ever forget. You could just feel how much it meant to all of them and to us. The image of the group joining hands in front of the Barclay and leading Daniel Farke's trademark chorus of Olays is an image that will live long in the memory of the tens of thousands of fans that were there.
Delia Smith has described Norwich City's promotion-winning season as the most special so far, praising a new level of unity at the club. Speaking after Norwich City beat Blackburn Rovers 2-1 to seal promotion to the Premier League, joint majority shareholder Mrs. Smith and Michael Wynne-Jones said everyone at the club had gelled. She praised Stuart Webber and Daniel Farke for their work this season and said she kept confidence in the pair during the club's challenges. I have to say, I've always had confidence in Stuart and Daniel, even in hard times last year. I could see they were doing their jobs. I could see it was all going to come together. I really could. Mrs. Smith described the night as overwhelming and said the supporters had been absolutely incredible during the season. She said, "It's not going to be easy. We've got to live with losing 7 games in a row, maybe, but we have to live with those things. But if we stick together and stick to this unity and this humility and keeping our feet on the ground, watch this space."
A long-running student charity wheelbarrow event in Norwich has been cancelled after organisers said it had become unsafe. The annual Pimp My Barrow event, run by the University of East Anglia Students' Union, sees thousands of students in fancy dress take decorated wheelbarrows around the city in the name of charity. Since it began in 2006, it's raised thousands of pounds for the Norfolk-based cancer charity The Big C, and it's a popular feature in the student calendar. but it's attracted criticism from residents along its route. And last year, the event, traditionally a pub crawl, was moved to Earlham Park after feedback from pubs. But the student union said they decided to call off the event and hoped it could return in 2020. In a lengthy Facebook post, they said, "We love what the event represents and the impact it's had for the charity The Big C, but the event has grown to a size where in its current format it's become unsafe for you, our members." They said they'd worked with an external events coordinator who had raised concerns.
Firefighters battled a large fire close to County Hall, which blocked off a busy road into Norwich as football began. The fire started on Barrett Road near the junction with Long John Hill. A bonfire began burning out of control and engulfed fencing before spreading to a home on the road. Police closed the road from the Long John Hill junction eastbound towards County Hall. Four teams of firefighters tackled the blaze from Earlham, Sproston, Wroxham and Carrow. A Norfolk Constabulary inspector said the fire was large but accidental.
The Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital will be awash with forget-me-nots this month after more than 12,000 flowers were created to help raise dementia awareness. Norfolk's Knitters and Stitchers have made thousands of flowers over the last month, which will go on display as part of the hospital's Dementia Information and Advice Fair on Monday, May the 13th. Community groups and individuals across the county, including care home staff and residents, dementia support groups, library users, Women's Institute members, hospital staff and volunteers, members of the Norwich and District Branch of Parkinson's UK, the university's Knitting and Crochet Society, and Norfolk Knitters and Stitchers got involved in the arts project. The Norfolk Knitters and Stitchers have also made a giant forget-me-not.
Two city pubs within a five-minute walk of one another are facing the prospect of being turned into almost a dozen homes. Planning bids have been submitted to convert the Prince of Denmark on Sproston Road and the Dyer's Arms on Lawson Road to a mixture of flats and houses. While the Prince of Denmark has been closed since August 2018, the Dyer's Arms is still an active pub, so news of the application has come as a shock to local campaigners. Richard Dixon, Pub Protection Officer for the Campaign for Real Ale, Camra, in Norwich and Norfolk, said, "The Dyer's Arms has always been a reasonably popular pub. It may not be a real ale pub, but that is not the point. It is therefore a bit of a surprise to hear of the application." Mr. Dixon said while he had seen the Prince of Denmark application coming, he was eager for one of its most recognisable features to be preserved if it couldn't have a future as a pub. He said, "One aspect of the Prince of Denmark is the big mural on the side of the building, which is something particularly unique. I am sure nobody would want to see that lost. The mural is currently included in plans submitted with the application." Mr. Dixon added that the large number of other pubs in the area could have contributed to the downturn in business experienced by both venues.
The first egg laid by a female peregrine has hatched at Norwich Cathedral. The chick hatched after 33 days of incubation by its parents. In a post on Facebook, a spokesman for Norwich Cathedral wrote, "Breaking news, and it's happy news. The first peregrine chick has been born." The nesting point was installed near the cathedral spire in 2011 and has since captivated bird lovers in the region with its live online stream following the peregrine family through hatching and fledgling.
That's all from Jane and me. Now it's over to Ree Chakraborty and Richard Matthew for the next part of Chatterbox.